Good day, friends, and welcome to Our Power is Within podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Smith, and my mission for this podcast is to inspire you to take your power back and to realize that you are the healer that you have been looking for all along. We all have the capacity to heal in mind, body, and soul. And speaking of healing, wow, what a healing journey I have been on these past few weeks. I'm really sorry that I left you guys hanging without any new episodes these past 2 weeks and without any notice. That was definitely not my plan. Actually, to kick off the first episode of season 3, I had some fun plans in store, but as we know, sometimes plans don't work out the way we anticipate, and the best thing that we can do is roll with it. So I went on this amazing road trip to Illinois to visit all my family, and it was the first time I saw them in 4 years, and it was wonderful. But the day after, we all said our goodbyes, and we left. Me, my brother, and my mom all left to road trip back to Florida. And while we were en route on the road home, I ended up apparently going into a lot of healing phases all at once, and had what is referred to as COVID, along with, at that time, already like 11 family members were showing symptoms. And so that made for a very challenging road trip home, but luckily we did get home safe and sound. And I have just been mostly in bed, allowing myself the space, the time, and the care I need to recover. I'm not back to 100% yet, but I have the confidence that this experience will make me stronger and more resilient than before. But I just share that with you so that you understand why I wasn't able to post any new episodes the past couple of weeks. So here we are, and this is our very first official episode of season 3, and I have an amazing recovery story for you guys today. And that's actually going to be the theme for the next couple weeks. They're going to be several recovery stories back to back because, I mean, let's be honest, who doesn't like a good recovery story to inspire hope and possibility of healing, right? So we're going to kick off the new season with a bang. Our guest today is Nick Koutsas, and what a journey Nick has been on. His story seriously inspires me so much, and I learned so much from my chat with Nick. I really hope that it is as powerful for you as it was for me. Nick is just a huge inspiration, and he's seriously proof that we should never give up on this journey. He first learned about the mind-body syndrome in 2013 in the work of Dr. John Sarno, but it wasn't until this past year where he really felt like he finally reached the place that he had only dreamed of years before. He shares what worked for him through this process, and we talk about his coach that he found the most supportive and why, and we talk about what he's up to in the world today, what his daily practices look like, and how his life has transformed in ways he couldn't previously imagine. And most of all, we talk about what Nick believes was the true magic ingredient in healing, and I have a feeling it's something that we could all use a little more of in our lives as well. So stay tuned to find out what that magic ingredient is. And with that said, let's get started. Hey, Nick, thanks so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me. It's really exciting. I'm happy to share my story with you.
Absolutely. We know that everyone loves a good testimonial story. It inspires and brings hope. And so, yeah, I think that more than anything, when we hear other people's testimonials, it just helps us to sometimes relate or feel seen or feel understood, and most importantly, feel not so alone on the journey. So I really appreciate you having a willingness to share yours.
Thank you. And that word alone definitely jumps out. It's so lonely at times when you're suffering, isn't it?
It is. It is. It can be a very lonely world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things like this, stories, shares, testimonials, they're really powerful tools to help people to feel that connection. Since you are going to be sharing a testimonial, we obviously know you're here to share healing testimonials. So what I think I'd like to do is let you take the floor for a little while here and start at the beginning and just walk us through what's some of the healing process has been like for you. And as far as like how much you share from the beginning is up to you, but let's focus more on like not so much like getting stuck in where you were in the muck of everything, but like where you've come and what that journey and process was like as it unfolded.
Sure. No, that's fine. So I think we'll just start with the good stuff that I'm, you know, recovered, healed of a life of suffering, I guess, right back from childhood, so that there is hope. You know, those of us with a short attention span may not be able to listen for a whole podcast, but if you're listening today and you're suffering, it definitely is hope. And that's my whole message, right? That's why, you know, I really don't want to be honest. I really don't want to do these things and talk about my story. It's a bit freaky. But I want to share that hope because it was a time when I had no hope and I was suffering and, you know, I couldn't see a way out. So I think for me, I want to share first all of my symptoms, because when I was trying to heal and learn about Dr. John Sarno and TMS, I'd always think, oh, no, but they're different to me. Like they haven't had this, so that doesn't relate to me. So I think if I just tick off all the things that I've you know, had and gone through, that might help someone else.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So pretty much had what I call everything under the sun, where, you know, it would constantly manifest in different ways and, you know, spin around the body and come out in different parts. So, you know, from insomnia, where I'd go days without sleeping, unfortunately weeks without sleeping. It was brutal, you know, IBS, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, back pain, you name it. I've had every type of pain in my back, from lower back to middle back to top back, you know, shoulders, elbows, arms. Used to get eye pain. I used to think I had conjunctivitis, but the drops in that wouldn't work. You know, pain in the ears, feet, hands, even in the private parts. One of the hardest things was migraines. They were just brutal. You know, my migraines would lead to nausea and then vomiting. So, you know, I'd throw up, go and lie down and go and throw up again. The worst case of that was about 13 times I vomited straight. So that was very, very challenging, an impact on your life. And then there's mental health things, right? So like really bad form of OCD and panic attacks and agoraphobia. So I just wanted to put all that out there. I've sort of experienced a lot of things, but to me, all of these just really come back to that, this whole TMS thing, right? And it just came out in different ways. So my journey is long, you know, from childhood. You know, I used to get bad back pains and I'd have what I'd call back attacks. You know, it'd just be like an electric shock in my spine or in my back and would drop me to my knees. And then I used to get really bad headaches, which used to lead to migraines. And then same into my team. So as the years progressed, I would pick up more things and there'd be times where I'd be okay. You know, I'd call it wasn't chronic. You know, you could still live somewhat of a life, but you might have a few days of, you know, bad back pain or insomnia or something like that. But there was a couple of times in my life, like around 21, when the mental health came out and that was pretty bad. You know, really couldn't function in life. You know what I mean? You know, lose friends and sort of you become withdrawn. And then I sort of came out of that and then I started to come good again. And then like in my early 30s, that's when the real bad back pain came, you know, where I couldn't work and, you know, couldn't bend over, couldn't pick things up, couldn't even lie down. So that was tough. One thing I missed on that list is the actual burning. That was one of the hardest things I found to overcome, this burning in the, I guess, in my hamstring region. So if I'd lie down, if I'd sit, if I'd walk, if I'd stand, there'd just be this constant burning. And I found it very, very hard and very challenging. So, you know, for months, if not years, I was using ice packs wherever I went to stop that burning. So that's my history of the pain. I sort of overcame chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia using a naturopath. So I say sort of because I didn't fully recover, but it sort of, you know, got me out of the dark days so I could sort of live somewhat of a normal life. And that was just, you know, seeing a naturopath, changing your diet, all the different supplements and things like that. But it wasn't really until I found out about TMS and John Sarno that these things pretty much disappeared and I would start to tick them off. But for me, I just couldn't get rid of the burning. You know, got rid of my back pain and my sleep was improving and all those things. So then I try to engage in the community, you know, like reach out to like TMS doctors and psychologists and coaches. And that was a pretty, pretty bumpy ride. I had some, you know, not too good experiences.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks. When did you and how did you first stumble upon the work of Dr. John Sarno and the concept of TMS?
It was around 2013 and I just found it online because, you know, yeah.
Like just searching like back. Yeah. Pain. It's like, okay. Wow. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And you did get some improvement. Like are you one of the people who you sometimes hear stories that like just the knowledge of it like helps to mitigate some symptoms?
Yeah, that was me. So at that time I was being driven around. I mm-hmm. really couldn't sit. So people would I'd lie in the back seat of a car to be driven around. So I heard about Sarno online, I got his book, read the book, picked up an axe, went outside and cut down a tree.
Nice.
Like that's just a miracle, right? You know,
right.
Going from
did it come back like
yeah so yeah. Mm-hmm. For me it would come back and it would shift, you know, pop or different parts of the body, you know, move around. Yeah.
Okay. And so then you went through several different TMS doctors and coaches and stuff like that.
Yeah for a long time.
Yeah, but just didn't have the luck you were looking for, the right connections or the right support you needed?
I guess so, because the symptoms weren't really improving, right? So because I basically got myself to the point where I just was almost fully recovered, if that's such a thing, but I just could not get rid of this burning, right? The burn. Mm-hmm. So there was the three things, the burnings, the migraine attacks, and the insomnia. It's just brutal. You know, and I understand now why, because they're so in front of your mind. You know what I mean? Like it's easy, you know, it's easy to have the confidence and knowledge and say, oh, I've got back pain, but who cares? There's nothing wrong with me. I find that easier than with the burning. Mm-hmm. I just, and with a migraine, right? It's not easy to say to your brain, ah, it's a migraine, who cares? No, I care. Because now I'm most probably going to end up vomiting.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. There's certain pain that's like, not to say tolerable, but it is like there's certain things where to some degree you can still kind of function. And then there's other things like my experience, migraines just knock me out. Like I can't even think straight. You know, there's like,
yeah.
There's nothing I can do when I have one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So those three things were kind of still persistent.
Yeah. So I guess what happened to me is I fell into that classic TMS trap. Like where I just couldn't get enough knowledge, you know, I just kept reading more books. I think I've got every TMS book under the sun, you know, watched every video and DVD thing. And because I'd always think to myself, oh, the reason I can't get rid of these three things is because I'm missing something. And I was always chasing that thing. And it was the things I was chasing wasn't just knowledge. It was also that I had missed an emotion or past trauma. So I'd keep journaling, I'd keep digging. Okay. And I've noticed that online in some of the forums, there's a lot of us TMSs who are like that. You know, it's like, oh, it's just this one thing. And for me, journaling helped initially, definitely did. Like I I'd feel lighter after journaling, and there'd be times where I'd journal and I'd feel like I've literally just had a massage. Like I could literally feel my muscles relaxing as I was journaling. Like I could really tap in to that part of my body and my brain. But then I went too far, and I've heard other people experience it where you almost journal yourself into like despair or depression. You know, you really mess yourself up.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing things like traumas and wounds back to the surface that, you know, we know now that the brain doesn't know the difference between past, present, or future, and it doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. And so you're almost like bringing your body to a state of reliving things when you bring up some of these deeper traumas. And especially if you're doing it alone, that can be really hard on our system.
It definitely was. And it took me a while to understand that. And what would happen to me is I'd almost become violent. It's the only way I can explain it. Like after I'd do a journaling, I'd just be overcome with just anger and rage, like adrenaline running through my system. And I'm normally pretty laid back sort of person. And I'd just be really snappy. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what's all this about? You know, I feel like I could just explode at any time and become like that Green Hulk, you know? So I figured that out to stop doing that. But what I used to do early on when I first found out about Sano, and I'm a big three guy. I like to work in threes with things. So every morning when I'd wake up, you know, I'd do a bit of knowledge. So I'd read a few pages of his book, then I'd journal, and then I'd meditate. And that did help me for a while, just, you know, constantly doing those three things, which was good. And then there's different types, right? There's different types of journaling. There's different types of meditation. You know, I do all the different types of journaling from, you know, writing letters to people or writing letters to myself or even writing letters to people who have passed in my life, you know. So I really went deep and really tried hard. And then when I thought I hadn't gone deep enough, that's when I engaged like TMS psychologist in Australia. And boy, was that. And this is just me personally, it might work for you, that's the worst thing I did. That really sent me mental, like mad. It was terrible. My body did not like it at all. It really flared all my symptoms up, and this overwhelming expression of rage and anger was coming out of me. And that was tough. That's tough, right? Because you're suffering, and then you go and pay all this money, because it's not cheap, to get better. It makes you worse. So you get even more angry, you know, there was a lot. Yeah.
Do you feel like, and I know you're going to share so much more of this progression, but looking like where you're at today, looking back, do you feel as though all of it played a role? Because sometimes we get really stuck on the idea that the last thing we did when we finally feel free of symptoms, we think that's it. That was the magic sauce. Like all my symptoms are gone now. But so many of us go through such a journey, and we go through so many we go through a lot of processes. How do you say that? I'm not sure. Anyhow. Often I always wonder if it's really the combination and the building blocks of all of it, you know, like all of it on some level to some degree probably played a positive role in the healing, but sometimes it's hard to see that. But do you see that looking back, how all these things could have been a contribution?
100%. 100% agree with that. Though there are a couple of things, no, I would say no, like one or two, yeah. Therapist, whatever you want to call them, I saw. No, definitely not. If I could take my time back again, I would not see those people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But 99%, yes. Yes. It's not like I finally cracked it. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I need. No.
It's an unfolding, right? Like
it is.
And maybe it all just happens in perfect timing in the right order.
What used to get me really cranky was there was a really good TMS guy who'd say, you haven't healed because you're not ready to heal. I used to get so mad. I'm like, what the F are you talking about? Like, I'm going to jump through my screen and knock you out. I'm here suffering. I want to F and heal. Like, I'm ready. I'll do whatever it takes, right, because I'm fully disciplined and driven, and which is why I've got TMS. But, yeah, so I never got that. but I sort of get it now, and it makes me angry that I do get it now.
I relate to you on that. Absolutely. It's like, what do you mean I'm not ready? I was born ready. But you know, there's always those secondary gains and those parts that we can't sometimes see or access.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. So then what?
So yeah, found out about Sano, started doing the work, tried all these different people, couldn't get rid of these main three things. And then came across Dan from Pain Free You, his YouTubes, how he does those daily YouTubes on different topics. And he's brilliant, right? I just connected straight away, just made it for me. I just found it simple, easy. And I connect more with people who have lived it. You know what I mean? They've gone through it, come out on the other side, and now are teaching it. So that was helping. And I really got what he was saying. So I signed up for his course, and I really liked his course. I've done every course under the sun. For me, it just worked for me, just because his course is more like just short video clips. So that was really cool. Did that, and if you do his course, then you get to be part of the group coaching. So I went to a few of those group coaching things, and that was okay. But then during that time, I stumbled across Rebecca Tolan, and she just really resonated with me, her story. So went and checked her out, and then started working with her. Around October, I think, last year, we kicked off. Yeah, so what's that now? Coming up to a year ago or so.
That's awesome. Rebecca's so great. I love her.
Yeah, she's really good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was it that drew you to her?
I guess some parts of her story. Sort of resonated with me. And so the first thing I did is I reached out to her because she has a free somatic tracking. And that was one thing I actually hadn't done. I'd done all this stuff, but I'd never really done this somatic tracking. And so I downloaded that, and that really worked for me. Like that, I could feel a difference when I was doing that. Oh, this is really cool, you know. So I reached out to her and I said, look, do you have a longer version? I want a longer one, you know. I see that you have all these different types of meditations. Can I buy them without, you know, you coaching me or signing up to a course or anything? So that's how it actually started. And she was very kind and allowed me to just, buy those different meditations directly from her. And they work wonders. And then so I was doing that. And then I reached out to her, said, look, if you do ever get a, you know, spot available, because I know you're pretty busy coaching, let me know. So that's how that came about. So, and I still do it now, right? I still do my somatic trackings or her meditations twice a day. It's just, I don't know what it is about her. I don't know if it's a voice or how she says it. It just, it just works. It's really cool.
Yeah, I've used her somatic tracking, the free one, and she has a wonderful voice to create those experiences.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very soothing and calming, and that's exactly what you need, right, for presencing. So just the somatic piece is so important, because that's what it all is, right? Everything that you were feeling was just sensations in your body. So to really connect with that in a safe way.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So then you started working with Rebecca, and that's where I know from talking to you, that's where you really started experiencing some major shifts.
Definitely. So working with her, and we would do like somatic tracking exercises during our coaching. So I guess like live in room sort of thing. And that really helped with me. And I think, because like you said, you over time you build on everything. It's not like just one thing at the end. Because I built on everything, it really then sort of all just came together. Like even though in the beginning she was telling me things I already knew, but it sort of sunk in even deeper. It's hard to describe. and then doing the work, like the somatic tracking with her. And then one thing I noticed, which she used to talk about, is just being present and being in the moment. So I think what happened is, because I was doing the somatic tracking and these meditations, my whole being was calming down and softening, and I could really start to see things more clearly. It was like I was pulling pieces of me apart, and I could really understand who I was, I guess. And I started to realize like how full on I am. Like I'm never present. I'm always living in the past or 10 moves in the future. So we did a practice together, and I think it's on her YouTube channel, an orienting practice. And that did wonders for me. You know, we would do it in the sessions, and then I would do it at home. And then I would do it throughout the day. Like throughout the day, I'd stop and check in. I go, where am I at the moment? Nick, you know, where are you? Oh, you're thinking about this thing that's not due for a few days, and you're stressing about this, and you're being anxious about that. And, you know, I'll just slow myself down and take a few deep breaths and tell myself that I'm safe, and, you know, and just calm that nervous system down. So you can see how each thing led, like it was years of learning and doing all the work. It was like that building block, and then the somatic tracking and meditation sort of started to calm me down so I could start to peel everything away. Because when you're unwell, right, it's hard to see what's going on, because you're suffering so much. You know, you've either got burning, or you haven't slept in days, or you're throwing up, you know, everything is just so unclear. So just slowing everything down, you know, doing the somatic tracking, doing the meditations, the orienting practices, checking in daily with myself. And then the third piece was self-compassion. And I get emotional even talking to you about it. I can feel it in me. Like, I didn't realize how much I hated myself. I literally hated myself. I didn't know that. Like, I'm a bloke, right? I don't talk like this. You know, we don't show love. We don't think about ourselves. Well, that's how I am and my culture is. So because I calmed my system down and could look at myself and see who I really was, I'm like, man, I am brutal. I am pure, pure evil to myself. Like, I'm a bastard to myself. What am I doing? Like, you know, that inner critic, that bully, you know, I'm just, you know, so hard on myself. But isn't that what this world is all about? That's how you get ahead, right? That's what we're taught. And those who are like that. Yeah. And that's why I've been successful, whatever successful is, you know. So that's what happened, right? So I would start doing all these things by myself outside of the sessions, and I'll come back and report it. And Rebecca would be like, this is amazing. I haven't told you any of this. And it just started naturally happening, right? But it's because she had calmed me down, calmed that system down so I could see it. And I just started picking little things off, right? And I'd go throughout my day, I'm going, why am I being so hard on myself about this? Whoa, Tiger, just settle down there, you know? But then you'd learn, you'd be hard on yourself for being hard on yourself.
Yeah. Stuck in that spiral.
Yeah. But it was they're the three keys for me, right? The somatic tracking, the self-compassion, and being present. They've really made a big difference to my life. And then doing the work, peeling it off. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are huge. And it seems like, your story seems like kind of a natural progression that I hear a lot where, well, you know, Dr. John Sarno explained some very distinct personality traits that he saw as a common trend amongst people who end up with TMS. And sometimes when we first learn about this and we begin our healing journey, it's almost as though we try to heal through the same behaviors that got us sick. And we know that we can't heal in the same environment we got sick in. So if we try to approach healing with perfection and bullying and pushing and worrying and stressing and needing to do more and learn more and all that pressure, it's like, great, we're getting educated, but we're not giving that system a chance to unfold, unwind, decompress, calm down, feel safe. And so, yeah, it sounds like that's kind of the track you were on for a while there, like so many of us, until you could finally connect with somebody who really did help bring you back into your body in present moment.
Yeah, and realizing I've never been, when you say back into my body, well, it's not really correct because I was never in my body.
Right, yeah.
You know, I've never been. It's always push, 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 bully, bully. You know, like some people will say to me sometimes, geez, you're being hard on that person. I'm like, you kidding me? You should see what I am to myself. That's nothing, pal. Like, yeah.
I'm really glad that you got to the place of compassion. I would say, like, for me, that's what the journaling did for me. The journaling brought me to self-compassion more than any other tool, because as I started to like allow things to come through, I started to see how much I actually went through and yet how demanding and hard I was on myself. And it was like, whoa, I don't want to be that mean to me. Like, that's just not kind. And that was like a really big light bulb moment, because that compassion piece is so important.
It's massive. I don't know if it was Rebecca who came up with it or if it was me or just us together. We used to say, like, Nick, just imagine how you're treating yourself. You're treating an innocent child. You know what I mean? That used to hit me, because I love kids, right? I'm like, what a bastard. Take that kid away. Like, this guy's bad, you know? Like, it's amazing that, but you just don't realize it. That's what you're doing, right?
Right. No, we don't until we get it brought to our attention, until we can get still enough and quiet enough and be the observer and really start to see it. And I really also resonated with you when you said that you noticed that sometimes you were even hard on yourself for being hard on yourself.
Yeah.
And like, how true is this? I hear this all the time. Like, I see and witness in other people and myself who get like mad at themselves, or they're afraid because they thought a thought that they're afraid to think, or they're mad at themselves for thinking a thought that they don't want to think because they think that thought's going to cause them pain, you know? And it's just like, it's just like a loop you don't want to get stuck in, rather than just being like, okay, so it's a thought and I had it. That's okay. Now let me think of the next best thought, you know?
Definitely. And with thoughts, for me, I learned, forget who I learned this from. It was, I call it the cloud technique. You know, thoughts are just like clouds. And I got to a point where I could just let them come and go and just let them float past. Because otherwise I do exactly what you just explained. I just explode at myself. Why are you thinking that? Now you've done cause yourself more pain. Are you crazy? What are you doing? You know?
Yeah, self-devaluation on top of self-devaluation on top of self-devaluation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got the three main things for you coming through this journey has been somatics, presence, and compassion. Now, in the world of somatics, there's so many, it's such a, the word, that word contains so many different practices, right? There's so many different ways of approaching it. What did you find really resonated for you or supported you? What style?
Yeah, for me, it's just calming that system down and tracking the sensations within the body. So I've gotten to a point where, this sounds really weird, Rebecca's voice is burned into my head. I tell her that all the time because I've listened to her so much. Yes, that's all right. My coach's voice is burned into my head too. I said, okay, well, cool.
Yeah.
So being able to just, because I do mine lying down and everyone's different. So lying down, becoming present, calming down, and then just tracking those sensations. And then it gets to a point now, like, I'm so in touch with that, right? I can watch it just ping pong around the body. And then I learnt to do it with migraines. And this was a massive breakthrough.
Whoa.
So, you know, I can feel a migraine coming on. I can't describe it in words, but I can describe it in my mind. I know when it's coming. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I guess the only way I can describe it is, like, I get tender in my neck. I get funny eye pain. Okay, and then it, you know, starts to shoot up and I get burning in my neck. And so I can feel it. And there's different levels of it. There's different levels of migraines. There'll be a migraine which messes me up, and then there'll be a migraine that causes 13 times to vomit. But I got to a point where because I do my somatic tracking in the morning, I'll wake up and I'll wake up with the start of a migraine. So obviously something's been going on last night in my subconscious or from the day before. Mm-hmm. And I can do the somatic tracking with the migraine. And I'm gonna try not to cry now because I've had a lifetime of this. I could literally make it disappear within minutes. Like, this is unbelievable. I can do that now. I can just go to that place and it will go. I don't know how to describe it because it's so many things I do within myself. Mm-hmm. And it will just go. And that is just unbelievable.
So you're just laying there and just being present with the sensations as the onset of it starts to manifest in physical form, but yes. With like neutrality, right? Without fear of it, without a story around it.
Correct. And pure mm-hmm. pure acceptance of it. What I learned early on with Rebecca, once I started to calm my system down, I didn't realize how much, what's a good word, terror, when the migraines were coming on, I had mm-hmm. absolute terror and anxiety. I didn't even know what anxiety was. I'd heard what the word was. This is one thing about doing all this work, learning about Sano. I never knew even what anxiety was. I had to be taught what anxiety was. So I never realized that, right? I just thought I had the migraine. I had the, vomiting. But no, actually under all that was just this terror. It's worse than fear. That's why I call it terror. And anxiety. So I think that's what I've been doing. I can now just remove all that. And I can, because I used to use talking to my brain, I'm safe, I'm okay, this mm-hmm. will pass. But I got to a point where I don't need to say it. I just sort of think it. And that message sort of comes through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that all make sense? It's hard.
It really does. Yeah. What I hear you saying is like, it sounds to me like there was a point where as you were about to feel the onset of migraines, you probably had a load of fear come up because there was a story. There was a story about what that meant, what that migraine was going to entail, what it was going to put you through, how many days were you going to be knocked out, not what were you not going to be able to get done or accomplish, or how you weren't going to be able to live your life those days. And it seems like you were able to really detach from all these stories about what it means and just observe, be more of like this neutral observer that's just witnessing the experience of the sensation.
I think that's it. Definitely. Yeah. Which mm-hmm. is a miracle, because it's hard to talk about this because it's like this, we're talking about this so lighthearted. Like, do you know what I mean? When you've suffered so long for it, it's like, no, this is massive. It's like you've won $1 billion or something. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to describe it. It's like, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. It is a miracle.
So what's really interesting too and super awesome to highlight is that you mentioned that a lot of times you'll wake up and feel the onset of migraines, which means that you obviously went through something in your subconscious while you were sleeping, which is when it processes everything. And I'm curious, when you're able to watch this, this onset of a migraine, these sensations dissipate, you can accept and know consciously that it came from something in your subconscious processing at sleep, but you don't need to quote unquote figure it all out. You don't need to get to the root of finding out what in your subconscious caused this migraine this morning. You don't need to get stuck in that mental cycle of thinking and figuring it out. You just be with it.
100%.
I think that's the key.
I'm so happy you said that because again, us TMSs, that's all we'll do, right? We'll mm-hmm. dig. Why? And all you're doing is putting more pressure on yourself, which causes another migraine, really.
And that's what I'm thinking. I can't tell you how many countless times I've woke up feeling the onset of a migraine. And of course, my mind wants to instantly go, well, what were you dreaming about last night? Well, what happened yesterday? Well, what are you processing? Well, all these things. And that's not going to help.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't feel peaceful, right? That doesn't feel like ease. But when you can imagine just sitting there or lying there with neutrality, without fear, and just observe what that sensation feels like. That feels easeful. So different.
It is. It's such a different approach. And then I would start applying it to the triggers for migraines. So because I had so many triggers, right? Certain foods, certain smells, you know, can't have a juice, you know, can't have like a celery juice or a carrot juice. I'd end up vomiting with migraines. Just, you know, years of teaching myself that these things are causing migraines, you know. Can't lie on the couch and watch a movie. I can't lie on this side because that's going to cause the neck pain, which will cause the migraine. So it was going back and doing all those things. Mm-hmm. And applying this approach to it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's tricky. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you cop a flogging.
Yeah. You know? It's a process of unfolding.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. That's really powerful. And I'm so glad that we get to talk about this and you're sharing this experience because, you know, I think that this is huge for anyone out there suffering from migraines to really instill this sense of hope and possibility.
Yeah, definitely. And same with the burning, right? I still don't see much talk about this burning sense. I call it burning. I don't know how else to describe it. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's these sorts of things you don't see much about, or you don't see people really overcoming it, where it's like back pain. There's so much about it. You know, I read the book and I cut down a tree, like, yay, you know, whereas when you don't hear and see it, well, no, I'm different. You know, there is that voice in us, isn't it? There's that voice, no, I'm different to everyone.
Right. <You know?
laughs> Yeah.
Right. So tell me more about the orienting. That's another thing where there's several different styles. What did you really resonate with? What style of orienting really supported you?
So what the practice is, you just first start to look around the room. It's amazing how, if you actually just stop and look in your room, the stuff you see that you've never seen before. I just look around the room and go, man, oh man, I've never seen that. So, yeah, that was the start of the practice, just looking around and then going to hearing what can you hear, the sounds that you can hear, and just really being present. And then at the same time I'd apply that cloud practice, you know, allowing the those thoughts to come and go while I'm just looking at my surroundings. So when we would do that, then I learned to take that on my walks. So I go for what I call meditation walks. They're like really slow walks. You might think I'm a bit strange because I'm walking really slow. So it's, for me, it was all about slowing down my system. So I live like near parkland. You know, it's really nice trees and ovals and it's really pretty. So I'll go there and I'll just walk really slowly and I'll stop and I'll stare at a big, beautiful tree, like, but really stare at it, like really closely, try and like look at the leaves, see if I can see, you know, bird's nest, and just sort of putting all my focus right into that moment. And then I might keep walking a little bit and feel the breeze and I'll find a, you know, bit of grass to sit on or a path or something to sit on. And, it just helps me become so present. And while I'm doing this, I would realize how non-present I was, like how I'd just be getting caught up into these thoughts, you know, thoughts of the past or thoughts in the present. So it's like training myself and training my brain how to be present. And, you know, I just found that so easy with this practice Rebecca provided, you know, by starting just to look around the room. I think another word I like to use is grounded. It's like really grounding yourself, you know. So that's what I've been doing, and I still do.
You still do all this daily?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's my life now. I won't stop.
Is that your main routine self-care? Do you have any other tools or practices or exercises or things that are just really important for you, for your overall physical, mental, spiritual well-being?
Yeah, so I do the somatic tracking a few times a day. I do that checking in and telling myself when I'm okay. And I do that with self-compassion. I constantly tell myself throughout the day that I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm so happy for you. You know, you're awesome. All these nice words I say to myself with meaning. The slow walks. I do feeling emotions as well. I'll stop and think throughout the day, well, what's happened in my day? I felt a little bit upset with that person, or, geez, that really made me feel a bit funny. I'll just stop and think about those emotions. a lot of talking to the brain. I play guitar, used to be in bands, and, you know, I write and record songs. So part of my meditations is actually playing guitar. So it's like a blessing for me. Like when I journaled, right, my hand writing couldn't keep up with my brain, what was coming out of me. And I can't articulate through writing. I don't have the gift, like Rebecca's brilliant with that sort of stuff. And, yeah, and same with, like, you know, talking about it. I'm not that good at articulating it, but I can with my guitar, right? Even though you might just think, oh, that sounds pretty, but it means more to me. Like, I've always had this ability to channel, I don't know if you want to call it an emotion or feeling within me, through my hands and come out onto the strings, so to speak. So I do that a lot. And that really helped with Rebecca, some of the stuff we were doing. Like, we started going into deep past stuff. And I just come up like with a chord progression or a lick or finger picking. You know, if you were sitting there, you might think, mate, is he going to change chords? What's he doing? He's playing the same thing for 20 minutes, you know. But that's my meditation. It's like, that's my mantra. And that's a big thing that I still do and really helps.
Love that.
Yeah. One of the funny things I do, and I used to tell Rebecca, I said, I'm going out on a date. She says, what do you mean you're going on a date? I take myself out on dates. Like,
yes, heck yes.
It's the self-compassion thing, right? So I said, I love you. You're awesome. We're going out, you know, and I go and do things, hang out with myself, you know.
How do you decide what you want to do? Do you just check in and be like, what do you feel like doing today?
Pretty much. It's a bit weird. But it's really cool. But my dates normally are part of my slow walks. I love my slow walks, and I love where I live. So it means a lot to me to be in that area and that environment. So, yeah.
Sounds like a pretty good day.
Yeah, it's an awesome day.
And you exercise.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So, you know, went from years of crippling back pain to, you know, couldn't bend over or do anything, and then during our sessions with Rebecca, I wanted to challenge myself. And I said, Rebecca, I'd give anything to run again, right? I used to be a big-time runner. It had been about, I don't know, 13 years since I could run. And I said, Rebecca, I know if I try and run, the pain is going to come on, and it is going to be brutal. And so I want to, you know, be able to do it in a loving, self-compassionate way and have the technique. So she walked me through a technique called graded exposure, where she talked to me like, she said, imagine, you know, you're in your workout gear and you're at the park. She's really good at describing it. I could literally feel myself being there. And I'd visualize myself running, and then I would visualize the pain coming on and know how to respond with love and kindness rather than fear and terror. So it's like, what do we call it? Outcome independence. So, you know, even though the pain's coming on, we're still gonna run and enjoy ourselves. So we did that a few times in sessions, and then I would go home and do it. I'd do it at home, and then I put it to practice, right? I literally put on my workout gear and went for a run. And it was brutal. The pain was terrible. Pain came out like there was no tomorrow, like hip pain and pelvis pain and back pain. It was terrible. But I just kept doing that practice we'd gone through. So I would tell myself, I'm safe. You know, while I'm running, I'd say, I'm safe. There's nothing to fear. There's no danger. I'm not disappointed that the pain would come on, because I'd say that to myself, because I used to get disappointed when, you know, pain would come back. I'd be like, I've spent all this money and done all this work. Why is there pain? So I'd be like, no, it's okay. I'm not disappointed. It's here. And, you know, then the self-compassion. I love myself. Geez, I'm awesome. How good is this? I'm running. Even though I'm in pain, this is awesome. This is fantastic. And then, you know, stop at the end of my run. I'd literally put my arms up in the air like I've crossed the finish line. Like, I feel great and, like, really take in my surroundings. So I did that, and it just kept getting worse and worse, the pain. And got to day 9, where I was putting my socks on, sitting at the end of the bed, and I was in like really bad pain, and I can handle a lot. And those voices started to come back. You know, what are you doing? Maybe there is something structurally wrong. Are you crazy? You know, stop this. Mm-hmm. And I said, no. I believe in this. There's nothing wrong with me, you know. And I just had a little chat to myself, and I went out running, and the pain came on, and then I went through that self-talk, and then the pain stopped. It just stopped and disappeared and has never come back since. And now,
that's amazing.
Yeah. And now, like, because when I first started running, I could only run 30 seconds. I was so out of shape. Now I'm running like an hour. I could run 2 hours if I really wanted to. So how does that happen, right? It's like freaky. Like, how can you be running and have all this pain and then it just stop? You know, it still amazes me. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to have so much conviction, though, in order to do that process. And I just want to say that for everyone who's listening, because, I mean, the challenge becomes sometimes people think they have the conviction and then they go do something like that. And then they have that situation happen that you did where it's like the pain comes so intensely. And if you don't stay so strong in your conviction, those voices can really take over and win again and bring you back down, you know, and get you stuck back in that fear loop. So yeah, I mean, you definitely had conviction in your experience. It shows, because you really, really believed in the process, and you believed that you didn't have anything structurally wrong.
Which goes back to what you said, everything that I did led up to this. So if I just met Rebecca and done that work, would have this happened? I think I wouldn't have put my socks on that day, right?
Yeah.
I'd learn about Sano in 2013, because I tried a few times to run since I'd learned about Sano, and I'd get belted and I'd give up and concede. Mm-hmm. So, but then I challenged myself, because then I got, it's like, it's a snowball effect, right? It's like, I can run now. Wow. Like, yeah, I am normal. Like, there is nothing wrong with me. Let's do some push-ups, you know?
Like, yeah.
You know, like, I couldn't even do one because I was so unfit, or I'd get really bad back pain when I used to try and do push-ups, even when I learned about Sano. And then I do push-ups and I have no pain, you know? And then let's do squats. I mean, I used to try and do squats after I learned about Sano. I'd do one squat and I'd be back at the massage therapist. Even though I knew about Sano, I'd do one squat, I'll be back. And now I'm doing squats and there's no pain. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that too does have to do with that compassion, right? Because you explained, like, when you had the pain come up when you were running, that was okay. You didn't like freak out in fear, nor did you get angry or mad that it presented itself. You didn't get mad at the pain for being there. You just allowed yourself to remain a neutral observer. And I love and want to point out how you even would like finish and like throw your arms up, and when you like pretend like you crossed the finish line. I think that's so important, because what that sounds like to me is celebration. And yeah, we have to celebrate every win, like all of them, even the most little minute wins. Like, our subconscious and our brain and those different parts of us and that inner child loves celebration. It's like a reward, like, yes, we're on to something. Woo, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it's like you just were such a different person approaching this. You had neutrality, you didn't have the fear, you had conviction, you had self-compassion, you celebrated.
That's very well. Yeah, that's very well said. Because let's look back when I used to try and run after I learned about Sano, there was no self-compassion.
Right. Yeah, you were probably getting angry. What are you doing wrong? Putting all that pressure on yourself. Yeah. Why is this working for me?
Exactly. So that's why I sort of wrote out my mantra, whatever you want to call it, when I first started to practice this. You know, and the big one was, I'm not disappointed the pain is here. Because I used to be. And I used to get furious. I've read all the books. I've spent all the money. Why are you still here, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
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 Yeah. And that does usually keep us in a spiral.
Yeah.
So you have come a long way, which is amazing. And I'm so proud of you and so excited for you. Because wow, you're just like another human now that gets to live a life of loving himself and showing himself compassion. And that's the best way we can change the world.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But I'm not one of those people who, after they've gone through this, say, I'm so happy I went through it. I'll be honest. Sure.
Yeah. You're like, I would have liked to get here some other way. But, you know, if we trust that life, if we trust that it's all perfect, there's no mistakes and it's all in divine timing, it's a little easier to just embrace it, you know, because you're here now. You went through some shit to get here, but you're here now.
Definitely. And now it's awesome.
Yeah. So what was your favorite part about working with Rebecca?
Oh, wow.
We'll do a little plug-in for her, you know, because I love her.
Yeah. No, she's awesome. She's launching a online course. So I definitely encourage everyone to get into that. She's just I call it, she's got the gift of healing. I know that the power is within us. That's the name mm-hmm. is your podcast. But there's something about her, right? But then again, you know, some people resonate with some people, and I don't know, we're all different. But for me, she literally, it's like she's got the gift of healing, you know? Like she just, she's just really so good at what she does. And she's so compassionate and she's so genuine. Like she really does care, right? You know, mm-hmm. she's just not there to take your money, to put the degree up on the wall, so to speak. You know, like it just comes across. And everyone, when you see people's testimony videos with her, you'll see that come out from people, you know, mm-hmm. when they talk about her. So I think that's the biggest thing, you know, for my healing was finding someone who was genuine, who was real and who had experienced it and had gone through it. And I find that she also makes it really easy to understand, like mm-hmm. the way she presents it. You know, because this whole TMS thing can be really overwhelming, right? Because there's different names now for it and there's different people's opinions on how to treat it and different websites. And it's like, but we're all different, right? And we all go through it differently. And I just found with her, it just really resonates and that compassion piece comes through.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome. And I feel like when you get a coach or a guide or a mentor, whoever it is, but when you have somebody in your corner who's genuine and truly believes in you and who has so much like love and compassion for you, if you are missing that piece in yourself, it's hard for it to not rub off on you, you know, because they get to be like a mirror for you and show you insight into what's possible. And it just sounds to me like she was the person that was really able to hold space for you to allow your healing to come through yourself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What has been the biggest life lesson through this whole experience for you?
To me, it's this self-compassion piece, right? Mm-hmm. Just learning to love myself and accept myself, you know? Like I said, I think I said before, I didn't realize how much I hated myself and how hard I was on myself, you know. So one biggest thing I've learned for all this, and like life now is just fantastic, you know, that inner critic and that bully has really calmed down. You know, it still pops up from time to time. I guess it'll never go away. But that's one of the biggest, lessons for me was just learn to be kind, you know, because I'm so kind to others and I've always shown compassion and, you know, always been generous to others and I'm the sort of person who always go out of my way to help other people. But so, well, why wasn't I doing that for myself, you know? So it's really been like a healing journey of, you know, exploring yourself, you know, personal discovery.
Mm-hmm. And I bet when you first embarked on this journey, you didn't know it would be all of that, did you? You thought you were just getting rid of some back pain.
Correct. Like, you know, I'm a guy. What do you mean you love yourself? Go and jump in the lake. What are you talking about? Like, seriously? Like, what's that crap? You know? Yeah. So, it's definitely been a journey.
Yeah. And leading into that, so just some like kind of concrete examples of how the life you live today is different than the life you lived before the bulk of the pain and illness showed up.
Yeah, well, there was a point where I wasn't living. I wouldn't call that living, you know, just being in pain 24/7, lying in your bed all day and pilled up. Mm-hmm. That wasn't living. Mm-hmm.
But before the pain, like before the bulk or the heaviness of the pain, like obviously you had stuff from a young age, but before it was like, you know, very intense.
Oh, yeah. Well, my life has definitely changed because I was looking back now, I didn't realize how stressed I was. I was a very stressed out person. You know, mm-hmm. really working very hard and fast paced. And I really didn't enjoy life. I didn't embrace life. You know, I was just going through the motions, caught up, I guess you call it, in the daily grind, the mm-hmm. 9 to 5. You know, that's all gone now. You know, now I'm just living in the moment. I'm celebrating every day of my life, like really enjoying life to the full, just embracing things. Like, you know, if you like eat something that's really nice, you know, before I just eat it really quickly, well, that was all right, and go on to the next thing. Now it's like, no, I'm going to really sit here and eat this slowly and embrace it and enjoy it and become ecstatic about it, you know? Yeah, because it's like everything was so cloudy back then, you know, you just couldn't see, you know, just caught up on that conveyor belt of life going so fast. You must be wake up dead at 60 or something, you know? Where it's now, it's just embracing every moment and being present.
I love it. So I know you have your morning routine. So, but I mean, thinking about your whole entire day every day, what do you look forward to every day when you open your eyes and wake up in the morning?
I put my running gear on and go for a run.
I do.
I love it. I love running. It's still a miracle to me that I can run. I can't express how much I love it because I run early, right? So I'm an early bird. So depending upon the season, now we're in winter and it's freezing. But when it's not freezing, I normally wake up around 4:30 or 5. So it's still pitch black. I love the morning dew. I love the smell of the parkland. I go for a beautiful run and I still celebrate at the end of my run. I don't care if people stare at me. And I still put the arms up in the air. And I just love that. It's the thing I look forward to the most because it's not an exercise thing for me. Yeah, it helps you lose weight and all that. It's a mental thing. My running is like a meditation. Like it really clears my mind. It really grounds me. And then I actually come back and I embrace the shower. That's something I do, right? You know, I really embrace that water on me. Like, I know this sounds weird, but I really get into that moment. That was one of the practices I used to do early on. And I know it's the simple things, right? But there's something about running early, coming back, having a shower, having a small breakfast. And I'm an old school guy, right? I've got an old fashioned arcade in my house, you know, and I collect old fashioned computers and I still watch VHS tapes. So I'll, you know, I've got my old big TV and I'll put on an old school 80s movie after I've done my run, my shower, my breakfast, and I go back to sleep watching a movie. To me, that is the best thing ever. May not be for everyone, but for me, that is just like heaven. I just love it. And then, you know, then you might get up around 8:30 or 9. You're like, I've done my run. I've had my breakfast, you know, I've had another sleep. Let's go, world. What are we going to do today?
That sounds delightful. I mean, my language. The idea of, I mean, it just sounds amazing. Just the entire way you described, like your experience of running in the morning and the smells and the feelings, and sounds wonderful. Sounds exactly like meditation to me too.
Yeah, it is.
I love that so much. What else? Is there anything that you want to share with anybody who's listening that maybe I haven't asked you yet?
I just want to send a message of hope, really. You know, I know how hard it is and the dark days, but I just want people to know that they're not alone. You know, there's so many of us out there who have gotten through this, you know, and that there's so many of us who really care. You know, there's this great, you know, I've come to realize there's this great community of TMSs, whatever you want to call us, you know, and there's so much hope and love and compassion and that you're not alone. Because that was my struggle, right? I just felt so alone. And I just felt like I lost hope at times, you know, but there is hope and you can reclaim your life. You know, I sent Rebecca a nice card and I wrote to her saying, thank you for helping me reclaim my life, because that's what's happened, right? Because your life does get taken away from you. Mm-hmm. You know, it definitely does, you know. And the other thing I like to see is there's not just one way. That's one thing that sometimes frustrates me. You know, some people just promote this is the only way. No, there's not. There's many different ways to skin a cat, so to speak. And that was my undoing. No, I've got to do it this way. It's got to be perfect. You know, this person is teaching me, it's, you know, but it's not, right? So what I call it Frankensteining. So that was my recovery. I Frankensteined everything. You know, I'd listen to some of your podcasts, I'd listen to other people, listen to Dan's videos, stuff with Rebecca, and I'd Frankenstein it for me to suit me, you know, for what would work for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And that's why I have this podcast, is because I really felt compelled to show people that there's options and that, yes, I want to share these testimonials and show you that there's hope, but that doesn't mean you have to do it in the exact same steps that worked for somebody else. When we do that and we keep ourselves stuck in this box, we're putting pressure on ourselves to get it right, to get it perfect, to do it just the same way. And if we think it's not working, we think we're doing something wrong. And I don't think that's it at all. I think it's just about really following our own heart and our own inner compass and like really discovering what really sits and resonates for us, and then pursuing it with an open mind and curiosity and a willingness to pivot if needed.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
What is one message that you would choose to share with the world if it was the only message that you could share with the world for the rest of your life?
Two words: love yourself.
So simple and yet so profound and yet so hard for so many of us.
I know. And it took me, you know.
I swear that's what healing is. I think it all comes down to that. All of this, like this whole life, this being in this, you know, human experience and going through this lifelong healing journey. I think it's like coming back into like learning how to love ourselves and be the best, greatest expression of love that we can be, but it has to start. It's like great to radiate it outward, but that comes from within first.
Definitely. And I did find that hard, right? Because you sometimes think, oh, that's being selfish. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
Like, but hang on, I'm letting people tread on me and I'm letting people, you know, it's hard. I even still find that a bit hard. You know, you want to put others first, right? But at the sake of yourself.
Nick, how can people connect with you?
Well, I want to share my story because, like I just said, there's many different ways to go about this. So I might resonate with someone. So I've set some goals post-recovery, you know, and one of my goals is spreading the message of TMS. And I thought one way I could do that is by sharing my story. So I'm currently working on setting up a website. That's a challenge and interesting. So something new and different I haven't done before. So it's going to be called Safe Cornerstone. And because for me, the message of Sano was that you're safe. And I stopped and thought about that word safe. Well, what does it mean to be safe? Like if you think of the building blocks of a building, the foundation, you know, the cornerstone of this TMS recovery, it all comes back to just being safe, that you're safe, right? Because when you don't know about this, you don't feel safe. You just feel terror and freaked out and it's the end of the world. So yeah, I'm building a website, and I guess if I had to put into words how to describe how to start this healing journey, it all starts with, you know, being safe. And then, well, what is safe? Well, S is to study, right? You got to gain that knowledge. And then A for me is like, it's acceptance, accepting, you know, TMS theory and changing your attention from the, you know, the symptoms, your focus. And then F is fear, you know, removing that fear. And then E is enjoyment, get back enjoying your life, right? You're safe. You've got the knowledge, you've accepted it, you've changed your focus, your attention, and you remove the fear, and so get back to enjoying your life in spite of the pain. So I'm going to try and set up a website around that, and then you can, you know, if people want to reach out to me directly via email, I'm more than happy if you want to share my email. Yeah, no problems. Okay. Happy to have a chat and help out.
Awesome. And when you do have your website up and running, because whenever you do, I'll throw it in the show notes. I'll update the show notes. Is it safecornerstone.au.com?
.com.
.com?
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts or words or anything else you want to share before we close this?
No, that's pretty much it.
I think it went really well. I feel like this is an amazing conversation that we've had. I have felt so inspired through this conversation. I have learned things through this conversation. It has brought to light some insights for me to remember and to think about and to re-embrace. So I really appreciate this time that we've spent together, and I appreciate your willingness to be vulnerable and show up and be willing to be seen and heard so that other people can feel connected. And I just wanted to say thank you.
And thank you. Thanks for having me, and thank you for everything that you do. It's awesome.
All right, friends, that's a wrap. So what are your thoughts? Is that a great story or what? Do you feel like you're approaching your healing with the utmost self-love and self-compassion above all else? And if not, what ways could you begin today to show yourself some more compassion, some more love? And what areas of your life are you still putting too much pressure on yourself? What ways are you still trying to heal through the same behaviors that might have gotten you sick? I ask all these questions as just food for thought. If you have a story that you want to share, or you know someone that you want to request to be a guest on the show, please reach out and let me know. I look forward to bringing you all another wonderful year of amazing stories just like Nick's, as well as many other guests who can bring insightful ideas, tools, tips, and tricks into your healing journey. As always, please remember to share this episode to help inspire someone else of what is possible in their life. And if you have not done so already, it would mean the world to me if you would take 2 minutes of your time to scroll down on the Apple Podcast app to leave a 5-star rating and a quick review. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and until next time, make this week great.